Kale and Company weekday mornings 6 till 10.
Heating up to the upper 70s. We'll tell you when the rain will begin, and it can't begin soon enough for firefighters still fighting the forest fire, huge fire in New Jersey, which that massive wildfire burning in New Jersey all week did not start by accident, as now a New Jersey teenager is charged and blamed with starting that half-contained wildfire that we've been talking about all week in Ocean County. He's ID'd as 19-year-old Joseph Kling of Weartown, charged with arson after starting that bonfire that sparked more than, so far, 15,000 acres have burned, and he started this bonfire, and then you're supposed to obviously make sure everything is out. They accuse Kling of not making sure that it was out, leaving it burning.
I thought I saw, wasn't it like wood pallets lit on fire? So I believe they've officially called it aggravated arson.
Yes. These are serious charges for this 19-year-old.
So it's not just a kid who went into the Pine Barrens and, you know, wanted to sleep out and made a fire.
And make s'mores.
Allegedly, they're saying aggravated means intentional, right?
It was definitely the elevated charge.
That's the accusation.
You got all these young pyromaniacs out there. I mean, think about this. Now, we go from the governor's mansion to the Pine Barrens. People just lighting things on fire.
Yeah. Oh, in Pennsylvania.
Just ridiculous.
Well, he's in custody. They're not granting bail or anything of that nature. So they arrested him. They released the information, held a news conference, and released his mugshot, the whole thing, transported to the Ocean County Jail, where he remains in custody. That's pending the detention hearing. The judge denied bail for Kling, again, 19 years old. His next court appearance will be next Tuesday, the 28th. But what they're saying, the one thing they would not answer at the news conference, they know exactly the timing of everything. So there were many speculating that they were looking at, for example, cell phone pings and towers and, you know, using modern technology. They did acknowledge that the detectives used modern technology to track this down and pinpoint. They said they are 100% confident they've got their guy, but they wouldn't. You know, obviously, we'll learn more in court how exactly they're saying that they're confident that they charged the right guy.
Okay.
Modern technology, huh? So, like, drones?
Surveillance?
Surveillance images. I think surveillance images.
Are those the drones seeing over New Jersey? They're monitoring the Pine Barrens
looking for the bad guys.
Looky-loos are out there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They're watching you.
Yeah.
But even remember in the, remember the Kyle Rittenhouse trial in Wisconsin?
Yeah.
And how we learned that the government and all these different entities, they track your cell phone, they have satellite pictures, it'll all come out in court. Mm-hmm. They have to bring it out because they have to have disclosure.
Yeah. When they're hell bent on getting you, they get you.
Yeah. Somebody's watching you.
I always feel like it.
And I will update that 560-acre, that was the Jim Thorpe wildfire on the Pennsylvania side. So just a reminder, that one is fully contained. That was Carbon County, much smaller one, but that's fully contained. On the Jersey side, a little over 50%, that one is contained. And speaking of that, wildfires, one of the reasons that the American Lung Association, as it released its 2025 edition of State of the Air, that report this week, and the study highlights troubling air quality trends for us here on the East Coast, especially New Jersey, New York, Pennsylvania, Virginia, Maryland, Massachusetts, Connecticut, saying that 156 million people, about half of the country, are living in counties that earned failing grades for ozone, smog, particle pollution, or both. And of course, in our area, Jersey and Pennsylvania, we got the big F on all of the above.
The big F.
The big, like, you know, ABCD, the grade F.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't help when AOC and Bernie are flying on $15,000 an hour private charter flights.
To go fight climate change.
And
oligarchs.
So Pennsylvania.
Giant hypocrite.
I'll send this to you, but we can get into it if we have time, among other things. But Pennsylvania, especially the Philadelphia metro area, straight F grades all across the board on air pollution measures. Third, we are third worst in the Mid-Atlantic for both ozone and daily particle pollution. Harrisburg, Lebanon, York, ranking third worst in the region for year-round particle pollution, saw ozone grades fall from a B to a D.
Wow. I've been there.
Yeah, I was just going to say that's my high school career.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I went from a B to a D once, and my dad looked at me and goes, what's the matter? Do you attend class today?
We have Luigi Mangione, the accused CEO killer.
Isn't he dead yet?
Expected to plead not guilty.
Okay.
He is appearing in a lower Manhattan court today on new federal charges. And so prosecutors submitting the formal notice, they intend to seek the death penalty if he is convicted. Prosecutors cited in part that he desired to provoke broad-based resistance to the victim's industry. So this killing, they say targeted, but also malicious in nature because it was designed to provoke this kind of violence against insurance industry.
Yeah.
You know, managers.
Yeah, this guy thought he was going to start a revolution against an industry that he despises.
Yes.
Yeah.
So we have that one going on. I know there was news around Pam Bondi talking about that. So we'll watch for that court proceeding for sure. And then, of course, draft day, and today's day two. So since you talked about our pick, I'll talk about a pick who I know, who is the pride of LaSalle College High School. And so this was North Philadelphia's Abdul Carter, drafted number 3 overall by the New York Giants. So congratulations to, you know, Abdul Carter's family. That's just so exciting.
I think he's the best player in the draft. So I thought the Giants had two good picks, actually. Yeah.
It was wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Who's the dart quarterback?
That's the kid from Ole Miss.
Ole Miss.
Yeah, he's solid. He'd be okay.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know that you got Eli Manning, but, you know, be okay.
It's cool.
Yeah.
We are sponsored by Joseph Anthony Retreat Spa and Salon. Yes, the secret to spoiling the moms in your life this spring. Now with 3 locations, Glen Mills, Springfield, Center City at the Lowe's Hotel. Visit in person or online, josephanthony.com, where gift cards are always available, josephanthony.com. So we're heating up to 78 degrees today. The rain moves in tomorrow, low 70s. We need the rain, especially, I mean, I think the tree allergies are at the worst.
Thank
something
you.
Like 3.5 or 4 out of 5.
Thank you.
And not to mention, obviously, the tinder dry. I know.
It's always a sexy thing to hear.
Well, yesterday, Dawn was like,
oh, gosh.
Well, Dawn, you sound better today.
You do.
Yeah, I'm all really drugged up. I got the good drugs. That's what that is.
Nice. Good stuff.
Nice.
Huh?
But I'm doing both. I know. I'm doing both the anything Breaking Bad that you show your license for and the allergy meds.
Oh, geez.
I think what happens is the allergies are sparked, lowers your immune system, and then you catch a little cold.
Well, I left when I got home yesterday, I left my sunroof open. And, of course, I go out 6 hours later, had to run over to Giant, and there's all this pollen debris inside of my truck now. So I definitely have to go to the car wash inside and out today.
Ew.
Yeah, you guys would both die about 2 minutes into my truck right now.
What did you, what are you taking, Sensland?
I have both. I alternate between what I call the Breaking Bad, Sudafed, and the Advil.
Yeah.
So both of those you have to show your driver's license
Absolutely.
You have to show driver's license for Advil?
Well, the good stuff. I don't know. They make crack or something out of it. So I'm being serious. So
Crack out of it.
Well, it's not crack, but it's like whatever they make, meth or...
Okay.
I should know this, but I'm sorry, I don't.
They make illicit
drugs out of it.
It's just a super-duper Advil?
It's the good stuff. It's the stuff that actually works. The other stuff that you get, that's just... It doesn't work.
Wow.
I think they're even getting rid of the watered-down stuff.
Oh, okay.
There's a move that it basically does nothing.
Yeah. I just take a Zyrtec every morning.
Well, that's what I'm doing, too, the allergy.
Yeah. But I use the Bobo version, much cheaper than the brand name.
Nice.
It's just legitimately the same product, half price.
Yeah.
Look at the ingredients.
Yeah.
You're buying the name. You're buying the label.
Yeah.
Man. Upcoming. Do you want me to tease this?
Yeah,
baby.
A quick thinking child's incredible question.
This is a great story.
That saved her from abduction.
Yep.
Oh, this is a local story, too.
So this is incredible. Do you want me to just tease it?
Let's do it at 7. Let's do it at 7.
We'll do it at 7.
Yeah.
That's your deep tease.
Oh, man.
man. And, I go both ways. I'll just warn you, traffic is already, I'm looking at the traffic cams, already beginning to back up. I know there's an accident on the eastbound Schuylkill, but as well, Penn Relays again. Yesterday's traffic was a nightmare, so just a reminder.
It's unusual for a Friday, too, because like most, like this office, most offices are a ghost town on Fridays.
Mm-hmm. So true.
I love getting the emails that like, hey, we're going to stop by and get something at the office today. And I get the reply, well, I'm out of the office today. I have to be on site for something. Like, on site
on
for
site,
what?
Yeah.
No, I've gotten the same response from a bunch of different people. Yeah. We will be remote today because we will be on site for something.
It's time to start using modern technology and ping devices and drones. See where these people are at.
I mean, if you're just going to say you're taking off Fridays, or you're not going into the office on Fridays, that's more respectable, in my opinion, than saying I am working remotely or I am on location today.
Yeah.
Yes, special assignment.
If you need me, I will have limited access to my email. However, you can contact so and so in my absence, and I'll get back to you as soon as I can.
That's Kale & Company News Live.
All right, Dawn, thank you very much. Coming up next, a Friday big take on American privilege in 2025, and then we'll delve into the latest drama with Pete Hegseth. It's Kale & Company, Nick, Dawn, and Greg. Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. But first, a word from our friends at Piazza, and we're talking about Piazza Acura, where today they now have, at all three locations, the 2025 ADX. That is Acura's latest addition to their precision-crafted lineup, and this premium compact SUV is a breakthrough in design, performance, and innovation. Comes with a turbocharged engine, available all-wheel drive system, and cutting-edge technology. The Acura ADX is engineered for those who demand more without the demanding monthly payment. Best of all, now available at all three locations in Ardmore, Reading, and Westchester with leases, get this, as low as $389 per month. Visit PiazzaAcura.com for all of the details.
This is the Kale & Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and on the free Odyssey app. The Big Take on Kale & Company.
Brought to you by Wawa, the Big Take, American Privilege in 2025. The phrase, different rules for different fools, is a motto that I like to use and one that I believe exists in any walk of life, in any workplace. The more valuable the asset, the longer the leash. I get it. I just don't like it. But it's about business and bottom lines. Today, the left loves to talk about white supremacy. They love to illustrate white privilege. But the truth is, in many aspects of life, American privilege is now defined as more rope for those who check the most boxes. The perceived notion of marginalized communities that still exist in modern America. I believe a real thing is the pyramid of victimization. And also, straight, white, conservative Christian males get the least protection when in doubt. And the commentary against them is permitted in every walk of life without repercussions. Females will get more leash. Minority males will get more rope. Transgender minority females would get even more rope. You understand the way the victim pyramid works here. Was white privilege, racism, and white supremacy a thing? Yes, of course it was. And it was abhorrent. And what's occurring today with one-sided, openly racist talk towards white people or sexist talk towards men is also wrong. As my mom said, Nikki, two wrongs don't make a right. And I believe that. But I've long believed that in today's society, the demand for racism and these atrocities is far more prevalent than the actual supply. It's all a part of the playbook of the left. And it was largely rejected, thank God, in the 2024 election. The Republican Party received 53% of male Latino voters. Donald Trump did better with black males than any GOP nominee in over four decades. But race baiters and grifters love to utilize page one of the playbook because they think in an argument it becomes their aha, gotcha moment. It's not. And I believe that the only thing that matters is the facts. It's not about your identity. It's not about your race, not about your gender, it's not about your sexual orientation. For job promotions, college admissions, professional hirings and firings, as well as the criminal justice system. That's why they say Lady Justice is blind, or at least it should be. But the biggest story of the week is ESPN broadcaster Shannon Sharp and the bombshell allegations against him made by a female 35 years younger than him. But what very few people are willing to talk about is the hypocrisy on display by the once worldwide leader in sports in Bristol, Connecticut, and the suits in charge. Now, former conservative female hosts, plural, no longer with ESPN, are sounding off about the double standard with those in media. If you are a conservative and you let it be known, you become persona non grata. If you are a black liberal male, you get every opportunity and a plethora of chances to bounce back and stay afloat. Shannon Sharp, perfect example. We'll get to his track record in a moment, especially when you're a former pro athlete. Now, I'm a staunch believer in innocent until proven guilty, specifically in these cases where females try to extort wealthy men. But the truth is, a lot of wealthy, powerful, egotistical men, especially former pro athletes and current pro athletes, think they are invincible. But we've seen stories with baseball pitcher Trevor Bauer, NFL punter Matt Araiza, where they've had their careers derailed and destroyed by less than honest women, and everybody rushed to judgment. The Shannon Sharp story took two plot twists yesterday, and we'll get to those in both of those in a moment. But I want to start by playing you Jason Whitlock, former ESPN and Fox Sports commentator. He's a conservative, and he's now a conservative pundit for Glenn Beck's TheBlaze.com. Now, this is Whitlock 3 days ago, so this is on Tuesday, discussing Shannon Sharp. Listen and watch this.
Shannon has had a long, sordid history with women. Like a lot of athletes, like a lot of men who exercise no sexual discipline. But if you go back to his career at CBS Sports, where that ended because of allegations from women, there's a pattern here. And so today, when Shannon Sharp was, by all news reports, back on First Take today, one day after someone files a $50 million lawsuit accusing you of rape, one day after you release text messages, highly sexual text messages from the alleged victim, ESPN, all systems go. And the reason why I'm critical of ESPN or just like raise a side eye is this, like, okay, maybe this woman is lying. But anybody with a brain knows that Shannon Sharp has had a long, sordid history with women making allegations about him and lawsuits being settled. This is an open secret. And so, yes, he has proven that this 19, 20, 21-year-old woman clearly wanted to have sex with him, but I'm not sure if he's out of the woodworks just yet. I'm not sure if he's out of danger just yet, because this is Tony Busby's strategy. Create controversy around some male athlete with no sexual discipline and see what crawls out of the woodwork.
I think Jason Whitlock nailed it. New revelations dropping yesterday. Front Office Sports headline exclusive. Shannon Sharp was accused of choking a female co-worker at Fox in a previously unreported incident, sources say. Sharp's lawyers confirmed to FOS that an incident happened and say it was resolved by Fox. Sharp denies that it was a choking. They go on to write, before Sharp's time at ESPN, when he was the co-host of Fox Sports One's Undisputed, he was accused of choking a female production assistant in the workplace. Two sources with knowledge of the incident tell Front Office Sports. One source said Sharp and Fox settled with the accuser for several hundred thousand dollars. There was no lawsuit filed against Sharp in the incident. And as what Whitlock was referring to earlier, also in 2010, Sharp briefly stepped away from his role on CBS's NFL Today studio show after he was accused of sexual assault. He returned to the network after a restraining order was ultimately dismissed. But there's a pattern here. We're going to get to Pete Hegseth with Poor Judgment coming up later in the show. There's a pattern here. Whether you like a person or you don't, when there's a pattern, you should probably perk up. But where are all the female rights activists in the media with their outrage? They speak up when Donald Trump is accused of something. They don't wait for the facts. They don't stay hushed in fear of defamation suits. They just blurt out. I haven't seen any outrage from woke women in media. Why? Because of identity politics. The same reason why they keep their mouth shut when men invade women's sports. That, to me, is cowardice. But true fearless women, formerly of ESPN, both white and black, who were shunned for being openly conservative, have voiced their views on this hypocrisy. Sage Steele tweeting the following, quote, "There's a long list of examples where ESPN and Disney considers having conservative viewpoints a much greater offense than questionable character." Steele also tweeted to Ashley Brewer, another former female ESPN employee who is a Republican. Quote, "Ashley, remember when we got chewed out for breaking COVID rules by standing too close together for a post of a picture on social media?" To which Brewer replied, quote, "But sitting next to each other at the desk, live on television, without a mask, was totally fine." And quote, "Never forget when I got chewed out by my boss for posting a pic of a Republican congressman and a UFC fighter on my Instagram story at the Conor McGregor fight." Shannon Sharp officially posting this yesterday on Twitter. Phil, if you want to post this on YouTube, that would be great. He says, quote, "My statement is found here, and this is the truth. The relationship in question is 100% consensual. At this juncture, I am electing to step aside temporarily from my ESPN duties. I will be devoting this time to my family and responding and dealing with these false and disruptive allegations set against me. I plan to return to ESPN at the start of the NFL preseason," end quote. I don't believe that for a second. I think ESPN will ultimately cut ties with Sharp, even if found not guilty or not liable, in civil court. With his track record and pattern of suits against him by women, I believe ultimately they're going to move on from him. But let me ask you this question, speaking of privilege. If this was an ESPN anchor, white, male, conservative, not a former athlete, just, you know, run-of-the-mill guy who went to school for broadcasting, would they be given all of this slack? Or would they be cutting bait with him, quick, fast, and in a hurry? I think we know the answer. But privilege in America is hardly racial these days. It's hardly gender-based. It's also political. Here's former ESPN anchor Carrie Champion attacking Scott Jennings on CNN about white supremacy and Trump supporters. Now, I want you to buckle up for this clip. Lots of talking over each other as Scott and Alyssa Farah Griffin battle Champion, Abby Phillips, and the cast on CNN. Listen and watch this.
It's about making sure that there is white supremacy in this country. And if we're honest, we will say that. We will make sure that people who DEI is really all these code words. You used to use woke. I asked you to define what woke meant. You couldn't really define
me.
Tell me what it means again.
Woke ideology is taking extreme views of American culture and trying to tear down America from the inside out and go outside of our cultural norms and invade every corporation, university, and other institutions.
What is DEI?
That's incorrect.
Tell me that's incorrect. But what is DEI? Tell
DEI,
me again.
Diversity, equity, and inclusion, trying to guarantee outcomes instead of guarantee opportunity.
Every single person in Trump's cabinet looks like
DEI. I was speaking.
I do want us to not get off the rails because...
Well, she just said we're all white supremacists. We got to address this, don't we?
We're seeing a whole swath of voters and saying they voted because they're racist or misogynist.
But go ahead.
Okay,
you said it was about white supremacy.
I said Democrats will keep losing if they do that. All the voters were white supremacists, but it's not about eggs. She said it was about pocketbook issues. It's not about pocketbook issues.
Of course they were.
Absolutely. But yes, and you're smart enough to know. Yes, and yes. But, they were upset about pocketbook issues,
They do have an opportunity, but we're treated to sort of similar comments to what Carrie made tonight about race, white supremacy, all of Trump's ideology and people and voters and everything. It's all about white supremacy. This was rejected in the election. Democrats ran this was the animating thing of the Harris campaign, and it was rejected.
And I am constantly
shocked at what you're not aware of, which is
Donald Trump's performance. I'm constantly shocked at what you're not aware of.
I don't know. I tend to be more right about it than you are. But the reality is, he did better among minority voters than any Republican in a half a century.
Yeah,
and he seemed to be totally unaware of it.
But it's also true.
But if you're going to come out and call half the country a white supremacist, I think you've got to explain.
I didn't say the the country. I said this was about white supremacy because what he ran on was making America great again, which is another cold word. You like to say woke.
But you're saying the election was about white supremacy.
I'm saying what Trump was about was making sure he is making sure that he stays back.
It's not even.
You notice the double standard there? The left can just throw out discriminatory verbiage and label half the country something they're not, while those who feel strongly that Shannon Sharp is guilty are supposed to walk around on eggshells. That, in a nutshell, folks, is the modern day of privilege in America in 2025. And that's the big take.
The Big Take on Kale and Company.
Brought to you by Wawa. With Wawa's $2, $4, $6 menu, you can craft the order you want with options at $2, $4, and $6. Pick one or try all three of them. Available now for a limited time. Got to have a Wawa. 855-839-1210, the phone number. If you want to jump in, you can climb in on social media as well at 1210 WPHT. And of course, let it rip in the YouTube chat, as many of you love to do, youtube.com/at1210WPHT. All right. So, Dawn, I'll get your thoughts on privilege, whether it's with race, gender, political beliefs and leanings, economic status, work profession, your thoughts in modern day privilege.
And all of the people that you were just playing, you know, talking on CNN, all privileged individuals, especially the woman claiming that, you know, half the country or more are these racist individuals. I just think it doesn't ring true. I think it reminds me of yesterday when you were playing the Michelle Obama podcast with her brother. And so she's sort of complaining about things that you watch it and you say, wow, you're one of the most blessed people in the world. Why do you think everybody wants to come to America? If we're such a horrible, sexist, racist place, oh my goodness, nobody would want to come here.
That's right.
So clearly this is, I mean, everybody in the world wants to come to America.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody fights to, even some of the wealthiest, most privileged people in other parts of the world want their kids to be born here to have dual citizenship.
Mm-hmm.
I just think that these are antiquated arguments and they go nowhere. I just think they just don't ring true with the average individual who looks at all these people and says, you guys who were driven to that studio, in a vehicle that picked you up, you are wealthy individuals living in mansions, all of them, and they're not in touch with what the pain. I feel your pain. They don't feel our pain. And and Trump does.
I think the American voter, and I'll just go based on voters, can't speak for the other half of the country that, you know, just technically did not vote, not eligible to vote or whatever. Americans are tired of hearing about people complain about victimhood. Americans want solutions to their problems. And I think that's a big reason why Trump won and Kamala Harris lost. And there's many reasons. But Kamala Harris ran on a campaign of fear and all the injustices and who's been wronged. And Trump ran on a solution-based agenda. Here's what I'm going to attempt to do with the economy. Here's what I'm going to attempt to do with the border. This is my goal, to end wars. We're going to reestablish law and order. We're going to end the DEI and all this other stuff. And you can go down the list of what his agenda was. And remember how long we waited in the summer, once Kamala Harris supplanted Joe, for the website to list her campaign agenda? She was technically the candidate for, what, 3 or 4 weeks? Before they even dedicated a web page to tell you what her agenda would be. So that right there in a nutshell tells me the difference. And it's not to say that Trump's going to come up aces on everything. It's not to say that Republicans get it right all the time. But one side seems to say, hey, this is the way I think we correct it. Democrats are, hey, marginalized community. White supremacy is still a thing. They're trying to keep minorities down, or those in the LGBT community down. They're basically beating you into submission to say, you need us. Whereas Republicans are like, all right, here's the game plan. Now let's go and let's hit the ground running. And I think that's the major difference. And then lastly, on the DEI, woke, MAGA, first of all, two of those code words there that Kerry Champion talked about, those are words created by the left, or phrases created by the left. The right didn't create diversity, equity, and inclusion. That's a Democrat thing. Woke, that was a left-wing phrase that was created 12, 13 years ago for the systemic injustices of this country. And you're right, as far as the people that are trying to get into this country. I watched a video last night from the official Border Patrol feed on social media where they apprehended a couple of people that were just coming out of the water at the southern border, and they were trying to hide in like the burned out straw, the grass of Texas on the banks of the border. Think about this for a second. If America is such an awful place to live, why are 15 million people a year minimum trying to crawl over razor wire and risk being shot and thrown in jail to get into a country that's such a bad place? Mm-hmm. Right? Like white liberal women, they always say how awful America is. Yet you have these guys desperate to get in to such an awful nation. And then said liberal women will defend the due process rights of illegals to stay in a country that these liberal women apparently hate. That's hard to process their logic, right? Like all of these white activists that say, oh, America's an atrocious place. It's like Nazi Germany. Yet there's people all over the globe from China, the Middle East, South America, desperate to come to America. It's the most ridiculous argument. And I don't even think that they're aware how stupid they sound when they say this and defend these things. Like Kilgar Abrego Garcia, or whatever the hell his name is. By the way, no update yet, but the day's still early. 855-839-1210, the number. We'll come back. I got to get to Pete Hegseth. The theme today is patterns. Not one, not two, but now apparently three. And I'm sure we'll take a lot of flack for it. But we'll talk about the latest report from ABC and the dirty line. It's Kale and Company. As we continue, Nick, Dawn, and Greg on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
While there's a pattern with Shannon Sharp, I think there's also a pattern here with Pete Hegseth. And I am a fan of Pete Hegseth. I thought he deserved the opportunity. I did not think his marital failures or his enjoyment of cocktails were reasons for dismissal or disqualification. But now we have the stories that are starting to pile up. And either this is one of the biggest hell-bent mainstream media hit jobs of all time, or this guy has a real lack of judgment. So we've had Hegseth Signal app chat number one with Mike Waltz. Then we had the second story where apparently he was flapping his gums about sensitive information to his wife. Then a report 2 days ago that we were going to get to yesterday. I'm glad we didn't get to it. We'll get to it in a moment. About spending taxpayer dollars on upgrades to the makeup studio at the Pentagon. We'll get to that in a moment. And then last night, ABC News released a report saying Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth, according to two sources, used the Signal app on a personal computer in his office that was connected to the internet on an unsecured commercial line known as a, quote, dirty line. Two sources confirmed to ABC News. Let's play this news report from ABC News last night, the national telecast.
This just adds to the controversy around Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth. So as you said, according to two sources, we're learning that Hegseth used the Signal app on a personal computer in his office that was connected to the internet on an unsecured commercial line. What you mentioned is called a dirty line. And that was installed at Pete Hegseth's request so he could use the Signal app on his personal computer. So why is this important? Well, a commercial internet line does not have the firewall protections that the Department of Defense's unclassified system has, so that makes it potentially susceptible to being monitored, particularly if sensitive information is being communicated. Now, this, of course, comes after previous controversies of Hegseth sharing details about an imminent attack on Houthis in Yemen in a Signal chat group, him along with other members of Trump's National Security Council, and then new revelations more recently that there was a second chat group that Hegseth had been using with Signal that included his wife, his brother, and his personal lawyer. That's according to two sources familiar with the contents of the chat. They were telling ABC News this. So the controversy around Hegseth continues to mount huge questions about his use of the Signal app, which is not part of DOD protocol.
All right, so that comes last night, and this is a day after CBS News reported that Pete Hegseth was recently ordered to give out modifications to a room next to the Pentagon press briefing room, where they are basically going to upgrade a makeup studio that can be used to prepare for television appearances. Hegseth, a former Fox News weekend morning show host, reportedly plans to spend, quote, several thousand dollars on the makeup studio, according to CBS sources. A Defense Department spokesperson brushed off the upgrade in a statement to CBS, saying changes and upgrades to the Pentagon briefing room are nothing new and routinely happen. I got to say this now. I've given this guy about as much rope as I can give him. As Denzel Washington said to Coach Yost in Training Day, "You're overcooking my grits, Coach. Remember the Titans. You're overcooking my grits." I've gone from a Secretary of Defense in Lloyd Austin, who had a COVID shield over his head like he was Darth Vader, to then missing for surgery where nobody in the Biden administration could find the guy, to now I got Pete focused on powdering his nose. I think this is true. I think this is a real story. I don't think it's fake news. Pete tweeted out, fake news, manufactured drama. He's utilizing the Trump playbook. And I just did a big take 2 days ago on fake news and legacy media dying. So don't even exercise and stretch your fingers on the YouTube chat. CBS and ABC, really, Nick? Really? Haven't we realized they're fake? Yes, a lot of fake news comes from them. But they're not wrong 100% of the time. And I've worked with guys in sports radio that were television anchors, two of them in Nashville, a guy named Joe Dubin and Steve Lehman. This was in 2019 when we were doing a show on the radio that first started adding a Twitch simulcast. And I looked over during the break and the two dudes I was working with were powdering their face. And I said, bro, we're on the radio. What are you doing here? Like, I have no problem if a female is powdering her face, doing her makeup. Dawn, nothing, nothing. If you do it, I got it. But dude's doing this. So I think this story is true about Hegseth. And I'm just at the point now where I'm not saying he's going to get fired. I'm not saying he should be fired. But there just seems to be a pattern here of not thinking things through, lack of judgment, especially knowing you're under the microscope. And I'll never forget when Trump told him when he was going through the Senate hearing confirmations, he said, dude, and I'm paraphrasing here, they're going to come after you. They're going to come after you the way they came after me. He gave them the warning. I don't know. How many strikes does Pete Hegseth get with Trump?
I think that he's, to me, the big one was at the White House Easter egg roll, very excited that everything's back open. It was a big moment for the Trump family, not just President Trump, but First Lady Melania, Don Jr., all the grandkitties were there. To have that moment shared with the media going to Pete Hegseth, who then, you know, doubled down the way he did, which he's allowed, you know, they're asking him, he's speaking. At some point, does it become a distraction? And I don't know if it's true or not. I mean, the latest headlines, number one, the Pentagon insiders, because there's all this upheaval. So they're claiming that there are some pretty biggity big individuals at the Pentagon where Hegseth lost his temper, said, I'm going to polygraph you. Who's leaking all these stories?
Well, I don't blame him for that. I lose my temper for that, too.
You know, and then, which is infuriating. Yep. You know, it happens. But then the other one was that he allegedly had that signal messaging app installed on his, I guess, his private office computer. I don't know if it was in a basement. I don't think he tried to bleach anything. But, you know, it's a bad look. I'll just say that. It's a bad look. Is the media focusing on this and headlining it in an unequal way from past administrations?
Oh, 1,000%, yes.
But that still doesn't make, two wrongs don't make a right.
But
right?
You should, yes, you're absolutely right. And you should, but he should know this, right? Whether it's fair or unfair, whether they have an axe to grind with him, you need to know that you're a target. So whether you like that or not, whether it's fair or not, you need to be extra careful, right? Like, you have to be head on a swivel, knowing that you can't trust anybody. You have to have all your I's dotted, all your T's crossed. Make sure you're using secure lines. Don't include somebody that doesn't need to be included on a chat thread. Don't flap your gums to your wife about everything under the sun. They have all a quote hard on for you, and they're going to keep coming after you.
Yeah.
Button it up.
I mean, so what they're saying, and they're going into, to me personally, they're jumping through hoops in the media. I mean, the Washington Post goes in, they had the Wall Street Journal. They're all over this. Now, are they wrong? I don't know. These are their sources that they're quoting. So somebody is saying this information, but they're taking liberties talking about, well, basically he cloned the Signal app on his personal cell phone. Well, basically he did so and so. Well, did you or didn't you? I'm not a tech expert.
I damn sure ain't.
So, on one hand, I would say you are held to a higher standard. So dot your I's, cross your T's. You knew, like you said, this was going to happen. And you know, they all know this. And by the way, you're the Secretary of Defense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and this is a critical job. It's an important job. So the fact that we have this distraction continuing, to me, in past administrations, to your point, whether it's Hillary Clinton, you mentioned, you know, Austin. So I just think, did they go to this extent? Absolutely not. So they should have gone to this extent in the past. I guess that's the answer. If
right.
You're going to go toward this thing. So yes, it's media bias, but is it wrong? Is it a lie?
Yep. 855-839-1210. We've got some news updates to kick off the second hour from our first hour of stories, and we'll get to that with Dawn on the other side. Sean Farish at 7:45 when we get to the cut sheet. And a couple of other fun stories as well. It's Kale and Company live on a Friday morning. It's Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Start your day with Kale and Company. Weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD and the free Odyssey app.